Let us pray. Grant us, O Lord, to hear your voice, and in hearing your voice, to love your word, and in loving your word, to do your will, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You ever have a moment on Sunday morning when the preacher says the gospel of our Lord and you respond, "Praise to you, O Christ"? Like you're not really quite so sure it's great news and maybe it's making you feel a little squirmy inside? Like you're trying to figure out, how can I still live the life I live right now without having to make any major changes and still hear good news in what she just read? Jesus has said some things I'm not so sure I'm real crazy about. How can I follow him and still be me? Right? Anybody ever have that moment, or is it just me? Okay, I'm gonna take that little chuckle there as a, you get what I'm saying. There are just some Sundays where it's really easy to say, yes, no, hi, how you doing? How's it going? You okay? You can come hang out. There are some Sundays where it's really easy to say, yes, this is great news. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord. This is what I needed to help sustain me in this weary world through the week ahead. This is what I needed to refresh my soul after the week I've just survived. I don't know that this Sunday is one of those days. I think this is more that first kind of Sunday I talked about where I'm not so sure how I feel about it. Is it bad for me as the pastor to admit that some Sundays I'm not so sure? This is going to end up online somewhere, isn't it? Well, hopefully the bishop understands. Because I think God does. Look, Jesus looks at this rich young man with love. He cares for him and he gets him. And he knows God's love for him is great too. He knows that he's genuine and earnest in his question. It's not like when the Pharisees or Sadducees or other religious leaders come and try to trip him up, try to get him to say something that's going to get him in trouble, try to test him, to get him to prove that he's really as smart and godly as he thinks he is. This rich man isn't that way. That's not what he's doing. He's coming because he's heard about Jesus of Nazareth. He's heard how amazing he is. He's heard, and he wants that seal of approval, right? He wants that affirmation that everything he's done has been right, and everything he has is a sign of God's grace and God's love for him, and so he's good. He's all set. You see, in Jesus' time, and probably in our own too, it was thought that being wealthy was a sign that God had blessed you. That having health and material possessions, big houses, many fields and vineyards, servants to help work those fields and vineyards, that was a sign that God had found favor with you, was pleased with you, and was blessing you. There was this idea that if you were a good person, if you were a godly person, then good things would happen to you. So this young man being rich, well, to be fair, Mark doesn't say he's young, that's Luke, but it's the same guy, so, you know, they just picked up on different things. But this rich man thought, I've done all of the things I'm supposed to do. I've kept the commandments. I have been faithful to God my whole life. And God has blessed me with all of these riches. And so I'm good. And everyone looking at him, everyone else around him, probably thought the same thing. Thought, wow, he has really found favor with God. God is really good to him. Now, I'm spending less and less time online these days because it's stressful and exhausting, and so is my work, and I think my work is more important than Facebook. And I only have energy for one, so I pick my work and I'm spending less time on Facebook these days. But every once in a while, when you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or some other version of social media, you'll see somebody post a picture of their new car or somebody will post about their vacation or some other wonderful event in their life, and they'll say, hashtag blessed. That's pound sign for those of us who grew up with actual telephones with the buttons, right? Hashtag blessed. Meaning, look at how good my life is. God has blessed me so much. Right? You'll hear people talk about the good things in their life as blessings. And to be fair, a lot of the good things in our life are blessings. But here is this rich man who comes to Jesus because even though he knows he's lived a good and righteous and holy life and he's kept the commandments since he was young, and even though he has all of this material wealth, signs in his day and age that God was blessing him and that he was all set, both in this life and the next, he still felt empty inside. He still wasn't quite so sure. And he thought, well, if I can get Jesus to sign off on how good I am, if I can get Jesus to say that I'm all set, then I'm all set. And so he comes to Jesus very genuinely and says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? What am I supposed to do? So Jesus goes through the commandments and throws in some that Moses didn't mention in the first 10. And he says, well, I've kept those. I'm all set. And Jesus says, great. But you're lacking something. Now, to be fair, it is about money, but it's not entirely about money. You see, this man believed that because he was rich, he was blessed by God and had found favor with God. And because he had managed to keep all of the commandments, he should earn that seal of approval that he was seeking from Jesus. He was really mostly looking for confirmation of what he felt he already had earned and deserved. And so Jesus says, you lack one thing. And he tells him to go and sell everything he has and give it to the poor. Now, I think the one thing he was lacking wasn't being poor. Although, I gotta tell you, some of the people I've met who are the most faithful and feel the most blessed by God, who recognize God's presence in their everyday lives, are people who don't have very many material goods. But their faith is deep and strong, and they are generous and compassionate, and they are blessed. So blessing is not really just about material goods. But this young man, it wasn't so much that he had wealth, and that was the problem. It was that he relied on himself. It was his wealth that was a sign that God cared for him. It was his ability to keep the commandments that should get him into eternal life. The one thing he lacked was relying on God. Now, for some of us, it might be our own financial status, and for some of us, it might be our own ability to be really good rule followers. But I think we probably all have something that, if we're being really honest with ourselves, gets in the way of us relying on God, relying on God's grace in our lives. One thing that keeps us from really trusting that it is God's grace and God's goodness that have earned eternal life for us. You're thinking about it right now, aren't you? When I think about it, I try to wiggle out of that. I try to say, no, of course not. I'm a great Lutheran pastor. Of course my theology is sound. Of course I know it is only God's grace. But I do an awful lot of good in the world, and I'm really good at following the rules. So I can take comfort in that. Except not really, right? This rich man's whole life was about following the rules. But it was mostly about avoiding negative consequences, right? It was about not doing this and not doing that and not making a mistake and not getting in trouble, as opposed to actively going out and doing good. He was so safe and so secure in his own sense of self-righteousness, his own ability to be justified by his own actions, his own reassurance that all that he had was proof of God's great love for him. And yet he still felt empty inside. He still wasn't quite so sure. Because the reality is that if it's up to you or to me or to any of us, we're always going to feel like maybe we're just not quite good enough. This Hebrews text about the word of God being sharper than any double-edged sword is pretty true, because it is a word like this that we have to wrestle with. It makes us uncomfortable. It breaks apart our ability to rest on our own laurels, to think, I've got this. I can follow all the rules. I can do this all on my own. It breaks apart our understanding of how the world ought to work. It shatters our idols and our ideals. And it reminds us again and again and again that we are not good enough. We are not righteous enough. And when we think we are, that's probably when we're furthest from where we need to be. Because the place we need to go to find our comfort and our assurance isn't within. It's above and all around us. God's presence in our lives, real and tangible, as vibrant and living as the Word of God, is what sustains us. It's what justifies us. It's what saves us. And so we need not look within, and we need not rely on our own ability to be enough. Because we have a God who is more than enough. And so we can approach the throne of grace with boldness and receive the mercy of God. Amen.